What happens when four 20-somethings with no money, minimal experience, and maximal ambition decide to create something extraordinary during the worst economic crisis since the Great Depression? In Make No Small Plans, Elliot Bisno and his co-founders share how they transformed a simple ski trip into Summit, a global community connecting thousands of entrepreneurs, artists, and thought leaders. This isn't just another business success story. It's a manifesto for dreamers who refuse to accept conventional limitations. The book has become required reading at top business schools and a favorite among innovators like Richard Branson and Jessica Alba. Its philosophy resonates deeply in Silicon Valley, where making no small plans has become shorthand for the audacious thinking that drives transformative ventures. Beyond business circles, the Summit approach to community building has influenced how organizations from nonprofits to governments approach complex challenges through collaborative innovation. In 2007, the Future Summit founders were unlikely entrepreneurial prospects. Elliot Bisno was a college dropout living in his childhood bedroom selling ads for his father's newsletter, making cold calls, and learning resilience through constant rejection. Brett Levy worked on commission at a real estate firm just as the housing bubble burst, watching his potential income evaporate but developing crucial negotiation skills. Jeff Rosenthal studied international business before quitting the soccer team to pursue entrepreneurial ventures, while Jeremy Schwartz played in a punk band living on $8 daily, mastering the art of connecting with audiences on a shoestring budget. What united these four young men wasn't business acumen or connections, it was absolute trust in each other's wildest ideas. While the financial world crumbled around them during the 2008 recession, they found strength in supporting one another's visions that conventional wisdom dismissed as impossible. Their bond wasn't formed in boardrooms, but through shared struggles, late-night strategy sessions, and midnight conversations about changing the world. They developed a practice of radical honesty, where no idea was too outlandish to discuss and no concern too small to address. Jeff grew up influenced by his grandfather's belief that a large extended family is the greatest luxury in life. This philosophy would later shape Summit's approach to community building, emphasizing authentic connections over transactional networking. His grandfather's Sunday dinners, which regularly hosted 30-plus family members, became the model for Summit's intimate gathering style. Meanwhile, Jeremy had built a loyal following with his band, selling out venues nationwide but growing restless with the touring lifestyle. His experience in creating emotional connections through music would prove invaluable in designing Summit's experiential events. Brett had developed remarkable people skills working at his father's gas station from age 12, learning to read people quickly and provide personalized service, skills that would become crucial in Summit's high-touch approach to relationship building. Elliot possessed boundless enthusiasm that earned him the nickname Casino Floor Elliot at networking events, known for his ability to connect with anyone, anywhere, at any time. His natural talent for bringing people together would become the catalyst for Summit's early success. Their different backgrounds created a perfect complementary team. Where one lacked experience, another filled the gap. When Elliot's optimism needed grounding, Brett's pragmatism provided balance. When Jeff's big-picture thinking required execution, Jeremy's operational mindset made things happen. This foundation of trust became their superpower, allowing them to take risks that would have paralyzed individuals acting alone. As Elliot often said, "Bold ideas challenge our identities. They threaten what we have and what we know. But with trusted partners, these challenges became opportunities rather than threats, leading them to create ventures that traditional business wisdom deemed impossible." The trust they built allowed them to weather early failures, including several events that lost money, without losing faith in their shared vision. They established a rule early on: any major decision required unanimous agreement, forcing them to debate and strengthen their ideas until they found solutions everyone believed in. This approach, while sometimes slower, ensured their foundation of trust remained unshaken as they built their empire. In 2006, Elliot dropped out of college to sell real estate ads for his father's business. Despite enthusiasm at networking events, his cold calling approach rarely worked. Though making some sales, Elliot felt unfulfilled and yearned to meet experienced entrepreneurs who could mentor him. When he heard about networking opportunities on ski slopes, Elliot hatched a plan to invite 20 acquaintances to Utah. His list included a real estate broker, furniture salesperson, construction manager, restaurant host, insurance analyst, and recent college graduate. Every single person declined, with responses ranging from confused to dismissive. Rather than being discouraged by this universal rejection, Elliot had an epiphany. He wasn't thinking big enough. His contacts weren't inspiring enough. This moment of clarity became the birth of Summit Series. Elliot created a spreadsheet of young entrepreneurs who had created something from nothing, people he genuinely wanted to learn from. After Joel Holland initially declined his invitation, Elliot turned to Ricky Van Veen and Josh Abramson of College Humor. Despite initial skepticism, the offer of first-class tickets to Utah intrigued them. They agreed if Ben Lehrer of Thrillist could join. Elliot then convinced Joel to reconsider by asking who else might want to attend. Once Joel recommended friends, he couldn't resist joining himself. Blake McCoskey of Tom's was next to sign on after hearing who else was attending. To fund the $38,000 trip, Elliot secured $20,000 in sponsorships from Jones Lang LaSalle and a VC firm, plus gear from the North Face. With 20 entrepreneurs committed but only a 9-bedroom house, Elliot faced his biggest challenge yet. He had absolutely no idea how to throw a party. The lesson was clear. When your initial plans meet universal rejection, the answer isn't to scale back, it's to think even bigger. Audacity isn't just about courage, it's about expanding your vision beyond what seems reasonable or possible. As the entrepreneurs arrived at the Utah Ski House, disaster struck immediately. Elliot's rental van got stuck in the snow, and a police officer approached as his guests tormented him with jokes about going to jail. After receiving a ticket, the heckling continued all the way home, creating an unexpected bonding experience better than anything Elliot could have planned. The next day on the slopes, entrepreneurs like Sam Altman and founders from Vimeo and Tom's swapped stories about their struggles and failures, forming lifelong friendships. Elliot realized his biggest lesson: perfection isn't necessary for success. The most important quality of an event is space for unplanned moments that create genuine connections. It's like the difference between a polished supermarket apple and a slightly bruised organic one that tastes infinitely better. This philosophy of embracing imperfection would become central to Summit's approach. Years later, during their Summit at Sea event, their carefully planned Wi-Fi system failed 5 minutes after leaving shore. What seemed like disaster became serendipity. Guests approached them appreciating the forced disconnection from technology. This failure became their new motto. There's no Wi-Fi where we're going, but we promise you'll find a better connection. Similarly, when organizing a White House symposium for 40 influential CEOs, they had just 4 days to arrange everything. Despite the pressure, they focused on creating authentic connections rather than flawless logistics. The result was so powerful that Twitter CEO Evan Williams tweeted about the event, causing interest to explode and even top White House officials to demand invitations. The Summit founders discovered that polished corporate events often feel sterile precisely because they eliminate the human element of imperfection. By contrast, their willingness to embrace the unexpected created spaces where people could be authentic, vulnerable, and form genuine connections that transcended networking. As Summit began to grow, the founders recognized that their individual weaknesses could be offset by each other's strengths. Brett LeVay's background perfectly complemented Elliot's vision. Growing up working at his father's gas station 6 days a week, Brett developed strong sales skills from an early age. His extroverted nature served him well behind the counter, selling Cutco knives in high school, organizing college parties, and later in land development. When Jay Baitler of Staples agreed to a call, Brett wasn't nervous at all. He pitched confidently about how Summit Series would connect Staples with influential millennials building world-class organizations. Though Jay seemed skeptical, Brett persisted, explaining how this small investment could lead to valuable business relationships. When Jay unexpectedly offered $30,000, triple what Brett expected, he seized the opportunity, naming the event Staples Young Leaders Summit. This partnership approach extended beyond the founding team. After the White House event gave them renewed motivation and credibility, they focused on their struggling Aspen event. Their game-changing connection came through Elizabeth Gore from the UN Foundation. Elizabeth mentored them, introducing female speakers like FEED co-founders Ellen Gustafson and Lauren Bush, and suggesting they auction dinner with Ted Turner to benefit the Nothing But Net's anti-malaria campaign. Elizabeth saw value in connecting her UN Foundation work with Summit's entrepreneurial network, merging her methodical approach with their sewing parachutes on the way down energy. She also introduced them to Mikkel Vestergaard Franzen, designer of life-saving mosquito nets, creating a powerful collision between technology and social justice that would define Summit's future direction. The founders learned that true partnership isn't just about dividing tasks according to skills. It's about creating something greater than what any individual could accomplish alone. By bringing together people with different perspectives, experiences, and talents, they could tackle challenges that would have been insurmountable otherwise. At Playa del Carmen for their second Summit Series event, Elliot marveled at the resort's beauty, while guests were surprised to discover they had roommates, Elliot's intentional summer camp strategy for connection. The event began with Scott Harrison sharing his journey from nightclub promoter to humanitarian. After witnessing the devastating health effects of unsanitary water in Liberia, Scott founded Charity Water, using his promotional skills to raise funds for wells in Africa. Scott's story challenged the entrepreneurs to reconsider their definition of success. Was it making money or making a difference? Tim Ferriss followed, discussing his 4-hour workweek philosophy that inspired Elliot to envision working remotely while traveling the world. The event culminated in a Tom's shoe drop at a local village where attendees fitted underprivileged children with new footwear. This experience planted a seed in Elliot's mind that businesses could be profitable while giving back. This focus on purpose became even more pronounced after their Miami event, when Jeff visited Uganda to see firsthand how the money they'd raised for invisible children would help communities affected by what the UN called the world's largest neglected humanitarian emergency. Uganda had endured a devastating civil war that displaced millions, followed by the violent campaigns of warlord Joseph Kony's Lord's Resistance Army, which abducted 30,000 children and killed approximately 100,000 people. Jeff's experience in Uganda showed him the stark realities of humanitarian work. Seeing warehouses of donated food sitting unused while nimble entrepreneurs were making real impact. This insight was reinforced when Ann Veneman, UNICEF's executive director, advised them that money alone wasn't the solution, pointing out that despite $1 trillion flowing into Africa over 30 years, poverty had increased. She encouraged them to leverage their network's talent rather than just fundraising. Their perspective was further transformed when they witnessed Haiti's devastating 2010 earthquake firsthand. Despite bringing school supplies and life straws for water purification, they felt helpless against the catastrophic destruction, toppled buildings, tent cities, and overwhelming human suffering. This experience made them reconsider how their community could meaningfully address global challenges beyond traditional charity. After the White House event, the founders established two simple criteria for future summit attendees. Do they do innovative work in the world? And are they kind, open-minded people with a desire to grow? This clarity of purpose transformed Summit Series from a series of events into a true community with a mission they could articulate and believe in. Tony Shea of Zappos had asked them a transformative question. Are there people at this event who you wouldn't invite to your parents' home for dinner if not for their professional success? His insight that culture trumps everything else in community building changed their trajectory. They realized that the quality of connections mattered more than impressive titles or company valuations. This philosophy was put to the test when they made a counterintuitive decision to scale back their event from 1,400 to 800 people at Squaw Valley in Lake Tahoe, calling it Base Camp. This defied conventional event business logic. Festivals typically aim to grow, not shrink. But remembering Tony Hsieh's advice about prioritizing community culture, they chose Return on Community, ROC, over Return on Investment. Their approach to community building reached new heights when they moved into an 18-bedroom house on the Malibu coastline. Despite its dated interior with orange carpet and chipped paint, they transformed it into their headquarters and began hosting twice-weekly dinners for 100 guests, an approach that would become their most powerful relationship development engine. These Malibu dinner parties evolved into a sophisticated art form under the guidance of Michael Hebb, famous for creating unique dining experiences in unconventional locations. They grew equally intentional with their guest lists, organizing each dinner around a theme rather than simply inviting friends they hadn't seen recently. They learned that diverse attendees created more complex conversations and better experiences. Their barefoot hospitality approach made these gatherings unique. Despite hosting up to 100 guests twice weekly, they had only one chef with no additional staff. They served family-style meals, asked guests to make impromptu toasts about their passions, and created a sense of ownership by having everyone clean their own box, the space in front of them, afterward. These dinners featured extraordinary moments, like when Leslie Odom Jr. sang 4 years before Hamilton reached Broadway, or when Radiohead's Thom Yorke spontaneously played piano after excusing himself from the table. By perfecting this format, they created a portable community-building tool they could deploy anywhere, transforming ordinary gatherings into once-in-a-lifetime experiences. Sometimes a seemingly ordinary coffee meeting can change everything. When Elliot met venture capitalist Greg Mauro in August 2011, their scheduled hour-long chat stretched to 8 hours. Unlike most people focused on talking about themselves, Greg genuinely wanted to explore the same question the founders had been pondering. What more could Summit be? They'd been wrestling with this since moving to Malibu. Their community was connecting between events, and their Tuesday and Thursday dinners showed them the power of consistent gatherings. They sensed they needed something permanent, not just a rented beach house, but a true home for their community. Greg initially suggested a club in San Francisco where entrepreneurs could meet instead of coffee shops. During their conversation, Greg mentioned he spent winters in Eden, Utah, near Powder Mountain, what he considered North America's best ski resort. Most importantly, he revealed the entire resort was for sale. When Elliot shared this with the team, Brett and Jeremy immediately recognized the name. Years earlier, Brett had heard about Powder Mountain's legendary status from a fellow traveler. Within 36 hours, they were on a plane to Utah, having no idea what they were getting into or how much a mountain might cost, but determined to follow their instincts. The mountain had been started by Alvin Kobabe, a doctor who came from sheep herding stock and built the first lift in 1972, maintaining a quaint, magical atmosphere summarized by his motto, "You're only a stranger once." After changing hands multiple times since 2006, the mountain was now controlled by a private equity firm planning to build nearly 3,000 large houses, install high-speed lifts, and add a golf course. Eden's 600 residents were fighting these plans in court, determined to protect their hidden gem. The founders sketched ideas for a completely different approach, limiting development with small, eco-friendly homes and creating a walkable village for a global community rather than importing thousands of seasonal outsiders. This unique outlook made institutional financing impossible, as they weren't maximizing density. When Greg finally called with news that they could buy the mountain for $40 million, they knew this was their moment to act, despite having only $1 million in the bank. Oscillating between unbridled enthusiasm and overwhelming anxiety, the founders faced the impossible. Their company had only $1 million in the bank, yet they needed $40 million to buy a mountain. if sophisticated investors were throwing in the towel, who were they to think they could succeed? They developed a founding member program, similar to those used in golf communities, where members would put money into an escrow account for homesite credits. Only after reaching specific milestones, $20 million in escrow, county approval, and completed entitlements, would funds be released as a down payment, with the remaining $20 million paid over time. Rather than presenting their plan via PowerPoint at base camp, they organized a mini-event at Powder Mountain for 60 core supporters, arranging for a specially built hut on skis to comply with zoning regulations and chartering a 737 to transport guests directly from Tahoe to Utah. They invited these supporters on an all-expenses-paid weekend to a surprise destination, promising an experience that would showcase their vision in a way no presentation ever could. After their successful Powder Mountain reveal, they felt momentary relief, like turning in a final exam. But unlike high school, they couldn't relax. With their $20 million deposit due in less than 6 months and having never raised more than $1 million before, they knew they had no time to waste. They transformed their 15,000-square-foot mountain cabin into their home, office, and hosting space. Building on the success of their initial 60-person weekend, they expanded to hosting 200 people every weekend. They'd bring guests to the mountain summit at sunset to share their vision, then return to serve farm-to-table dinners with locally sourced ingredients. Despite refining their pitch every weekend, everyone declined to invest. Then, Matias de Tizanos, a successful entrepreneur from Guatemala, shocked them by immediately committing $2 million after hearing their vision. As an entrepreneur, nobody actually believes in you at the very beginning when you need it the most, so I'm going to be that person, he explained. With 7 days remaining before their final deadline, they converted a small room in the lake house into their peace room, a 24-hour command center with whiteboards tracking progress across 3 walls. The process wasn't heroic or smooth, it was messy. People promised to sign documents, then announced they were turning off their phones for family trips. They'd receive signed papers, only to discover missing signatures on page 37. Remarkably, they exceeded their $20 million goal, securing over $30 million in escrow in less than 7 days, a testament to their community's trust. On April 24, 2013, Elliot signed countless documents until his hands blistered, and afterward, rather than celebrating extravagantly as they typically would, the four founders simply sprawled across couches in the lake house, too exhausted to speak, silently acknowledging what they'd accomplished. As entrepreneurs, the Summit founders faced a fundamental dilemma between capital and responsibility. Bootstrapping means disappointing only yourself if you fail, but raising money means becoming responsible for others' dreams and investments. At Summit, they'd always bootstrapped until Powder Mountain forced them to seek outside investors, 40 founding members who believed in their vision of a utopian mountain village. They severely underestimated what bringing this vision to life would require. Their decade of experience producing multi-day events hadn't prepared them for master planning an entire town at 8,000 feet elevation. The development process was humbling, like pushing a boulder uphill for years, knowing they couldn't stop or it would roll back down, growing heavier each time. These challenges became their greatest teachers, improving them as entrepreneurs, communicators, and partners. As Summit matured, they discovered that behind-the-scenes mundane work was just as crucial as high-risk behavior. They learned to slow down, be methodical, trust experts, and admit weaknesses. Their personal lives evolved too. Jeff, Elliot, and Jeremy all met their wives through the Summit community, with Jeff and Elliot becoming fathers. Brett planted deeper roots in Eden, buying a home near his parents. They remain true to their vision, preserving Powder Mountain's small-town charm while building public trails and improving the ski experience without crowds. By 2020, Summit had reached new heights, hosting sophisticated events, generating record revenues, facilitating their largest donations, and creating innovative plans to scale exponentially. Their community had evolved to include equal gender representation, criminal justice reform initiatives, and fellowship programs for young entrepreneurs. They had created programs for the unhoused and launched a criminal justice policy lab examining inmate treatment. When the pandemic hit, it felt like they were back to square one fighting for survival. But drawing on their decade of experience and mentors, they approached the challenge with a beginner's mindset, excited to brainstorm solutions. They knew that no matter what problem might arise, they were only an idea away. The summit story isn't just about four friends who bought a mountain. It's about the power of community to transform individual dreams into collective reality. It's about creating spaces where people can connect authentically, challenge conventional thinking, and collaborate on solutions to complex problems. Most importantly, it's about making no small plans, because life is too precious to waste on anything less than extraordinary.